Back to school doesn't mean back to normal as colleges and universities adjust to the pandemic.
You've got some schools saying you must wear a mask inside anywhere on campus except your own bedroom. You've got schools saying, you know, we're going to do only grab and go dining options.
We'll look at the big issues facing students and schools, plus the encouraging signs of growth in the global economy. And if you have to cancel your big summer vacation, start planning now for 2021 and fast because you've got competition. It's Wednesday, June the 24th. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News. There are now more than 9.1 million confirmed coronavirus cases worldwide, with 2.3 million cases in the United States. Concerns over the coronavirus are forcing election officials and voters to change how they do things. New York, Kentucky, and Virginia held primaries yesterday. There were some complaints about lines and delays, but less than what was seen in other recent primaries. Many results for some of the high-profile races we talked about yesterday may not be available for a while as states deal with a surge in mail-in ballots. The big challenge will be the general election. President Trump campaigned in Phoenix yesterday, defending the administration's response to the pandemic and its moves to restart the economy.
We did the right thing. Now we open. We got to get it open because, you know, I said, we got to get it open.
One of the Louisville police officers involved in the March killing of Breonna Taylor has now been fired. The police chief said the officer violated department procedures when he fired into the black woman's apartment. An attorney for the officer didn't immediately respond to our request for comment. At least six people are dead after yesterday's 7.5 magnitude earthquake struck Mexico's Pacific coast. The extent of the damage is becoming clearer as workers survey power outages and damaged homes and highways. We're reporting Dell is considering a spinoff of its $50 billion stake in VMware, a big player in cloud computing. It's all part of a possible move to increase the value of its shares. A strategy review is at an early stage, and Dell may also decide to buy out VMware. A Missouri appeals court has upheld the talcum powder verdict against Johnson & Johnson, but slashed the multi-billion dollar damages award by more than half. Total damages were cut to $2.1 billion. In 2018, a jury agreed the product caused ovarian cancer in 22 women. J&J says the trial was flawed and will ask Missouri's Supreme Court to review the latest decision. New manufacturing data is providing some encouragement to investors about the growth of the economy worldwide. Our markets columnist Mike Bird explains how this fits into the broader recovery.
So purchasing managers' indexes are business surveys from around the world that give you an idea of how a different sector of the economy is doing, in this case manufacturing, relative to how it was doing the previous month. And what the manufacturing indexes have been showing for the past couple of months is that things are getting better rather than getting worse. Now, what that doesn't mean is that there's a huge, real, rapid recovery underway. What it means is that there was so little activity, particularly in March, April, that it was very difficult for businesses to say, oh, actually, things are still getting worse. For most businesses, things are getting better. That won't take them anywhere near the sort of performance that they were seeing earlier in the year. So I think for now, this is pretty much in line with what investors had expected and what they've been looking for, in that you would see a recovery because things simply couldn't get any worse than they were in March and April, but that it may be fairly slow. It may be a while until we see genuinely rapid growth rates that start to take activity back to the sort of levels you were genuinely seeing earlier in the year.
Coming up, as parents wait to find out if and when they'll return to the office, college students wonder if their campus will even open. We'll explain how higher education is changing for the fall. Going to college is one of the biggest investments students and their families will make. It's a commitment of time and money, but during the pandemic, colleges and universities are opening up in a very different environment. Let's bring in The Wall Street Journal's Melissa Korn. She covers higher education. Hi, Melissa.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
Across the country, school districts, kindergarten all the way up to high school, are trying to figure out what to do next. Now we also have colleges and universities, which is a little bit of a different dynamic. Is it clear-cut if college students will be going to school come this fall?
It is not at all clear-cut what's going to happen with college students yet this fall. A lot of schools have come out and kind of proclaimed their plans. We intend to, we expect to, but even they don't really know and probably won't know firmly until later this summer as public health officials decide whether it's safe to bring students back to campus. Some schools have come out and said freshmen will be on campus, but sophomores and juniors won't. It really varies by school.
When I think of colleges and universities, I think of the fact that students actually live on campus. This has to be an entirely new challenge.
Right. College campuses are kind of a petri dish, right? You've got students living together, eating together, going to class together, using communal restrooms, working out together. I mean, the people live in very close quarters. That's part of what a residential campus experience is all about. And that means when there is a virus or even a flu outbreak or something, it's awful. So for coronavirus, it's really a frightening prospect for schools to figure out how to bring students back safely. So schools are doing everything from buying hundreds of thousands of face masks. You know, you've got schools saying, you know, we're going to do only grab and go dining options. You're not going to sit in the cafeteria and eat your lunch from a buffet. Schools are buying literally miles of plexiglass to put up barriers in high traffic areas like student services and financial aid, the registrar's office, you know, sourcing many, many, many hundreds of gallons of hand sanitizer, finding disinfecting wipes so that students can wipe down a desk before they sit down in class.
Can colleges and universities even afford these unforeseen additional costs?
The short answer is not really, but they have no choice. So when colleges went remote in the spring and sent students home and moved classes online, they had a lot of additional costs from the kind of tech side of things, but they also had some savings. Buildings weren't in use, so energy costs went down. A lot immediately stopped faculty and staff travel, so they saved money that way. A lot have instituted hiring freezes, put on hold a lot of construction projects. So they're finding savings in other ways, and that's then going toward this. Some schools, including Purdue University, Chapman University in California, are also fundraising specifically for some of their safety measures. You know, Purdue has a website, you know, $60 will buy you this, $1,250 will get you this many tests. Please help protect our students, which has rubbed some people the wrong way, but the schools need to find a way to pay for this. They cannot open without it.
If I'm a parent or if I'm a student, I'm wondering, is tuition going to go up?
So tuition for most schools isn't rising in any extraordinary way this year. A lot of schools have held steady on tuition this year, knowing that families are under greater financial pressure now because of the pandemic and the resultant economic lockdown. A lot of people lost their jobs, and the schools are kind of acknowledging that. At the same time, families aren't content with just steady tuition. They want to see tuition drop if the students are doing school remotely in the fall, if they have to stay at home. And a lot of schools have said that's not really going to happen.
With so much money at stake, with so much time, any advice that you can give to parents and students as they navigate an uncertain future?
So the biggest advice I give to parents, and I am giving to parents because I hear from a lot of them and from students as well, is find out about the refund policies for housing and those types of costs. If the school has already come out and said, you know, if you come and live on campus, if we have to shut down mid-semester and you're on your own, you're not going to get a refund if you're sent back home from your dorm fees. A family should know that, would want to know that, versus schools that kind of like in the spring said, okay, we have to shut down, we're prorating your expenses. So I think understanding the fine print of the contracts you're signing for the schools, and also knowing that even if a school says, we're going to be open come fall, here's your move-in day, here's your dorm assignment, here's your classes, all of that, that could still change. And we just don't know yet. It could change in August. It could change in October if there's, you know, a second wave at certain points. This is one of those best laid plans sort of situations. We just don't know.
The Wall Street Journal's Melissa Korn. Melissa, thanks for being here.
Thanks so much.
And And finally, it's inevitable. Summer vacations are getting canceled because of the pandemic. That includes those big milestone trips, celebrating birthdays, weddings, or graduations. You can cancel and risk losing a deposit, or you can reschedule. But the Wall Street Journal's Nancy Keat says you may want to hurry.
Travel agents, hotels, and safari companies are saying they're already seeing spots fill up for next summer. In some cases, they're already even sold out. Of course, it's in their interest to say that, to push people to book now. However, the travel experts, those consultants that make predictions, also expect more travelers next summer because of all the deferred trips.
Nancy points out this is especially true for high-end trips because space is limited. You can read more on WSJ.com. And that's what's news for this morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. We're back with another updated episode this evening. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.